Yes, many things are going on right now, right? And I was sitting in my office and I was thinking about all the things that are going on, and, you know, about with the church. And I started crying. I said, oh God. He immediately, very lovingly, said to me, he said, daughter, I know. I know exactly what's going on. And he says, I'm with you. You have to go through this. A lot of people were saying to me, well, we're praying for you. Why aren't you being healed? This is something I have to walk through. And God said, when it's finished, the glory will be here. You know, so we never, you know, let's not be judging what's going on in everybody's life. Let's just let God be God. Let him do with us what he wants to do with us. And we just have to keep walking on. And just keep trusting him. And the problem with the body of Christ is there's trust is going out the window. We don't think God knows what he's doing. So therefore, we just start walking in our own flesh. And we really mess our lives up. There's so many people out there that need Christ. They need the anointing. They need the glory. They need the Spirit. And there's so many churches are denying those things to the people. You are not allowed to compromise what you believe in. Just like I don't want, if somebody doesn't believe that if they're a Christian that they can't have a demon, I have no right to tell them they don't know what they're saying. That's their belief. And we're not supposed to make them compromise their belief. What you need to do is just pray that God will open up their spiritual eyes and let them see the truth. Because the more you hammer at them, the more they're going to get rebellious. And they're not going to want to listen to a thing you have to say. It's not our job to change anybody. It's the Holy Spirit's job. And sometimes what we try to do is we try to push a person into being changed, and we mess it up. But I have enough anointing in me. Well, you probably do. But it's not what God's wanting to do. He wants to deal with that person so that when that person is set free, they're free. They're just not doing something because you tell them to do it. I just want to encourage you this morning that God is in control. I don't care what you see or what people are telling you. God is in control. And he's been dealing with the compromise for quite some time now. So just don't compromise your walk with God. Amen. Well, Father, we truly do thank you for those who came out this morning. We thank you, Father, that you are here in all your richness. I just heard you say that. So, Father God, we thank you that you are amongst us. And you are leading, guiding, and directing us in the proper path that you would have us to go. And I'm asking this morning, Father God, that you minister to each and every person that's here. Meet them, Father God, at their point of need. And Father God, set them free from all bondage. And Father, let us learn to truly love. Let us learn, Father God, to turn the other cheek. And Father God, let us learn that as we follow you, you will take care of our enemies. And Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the angelic host. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you know, God gave the word about outstretched arms, and I sent it. And right after I hit send button, then he started talking to me. So I don't know if that was supposed to be part of this morning's sermon or not. But anyhow, you got that. Now we're going to get the rest of it. Amen. God says, oh, I want to say something else before I start. You ladies who live up north, I would ask you to go home right after this service. Don't linger around for the evening service because the weather's supposed to get bad. And I'd feel awful bad, you know, knowing that you're trying to travel in real bad weather. So it's all right for you to go home after the morning service. I thank you for coming to the morning service. All right, God says, come, my children, run into my outstretched arms this day. This day. Come under the shadow of the Almighty, where the enemy cannot touch you. You have been under such a severe attack that some of you feel like you have brain fog and cannot hear me correctly. This is not brain fog, little ones. This is a strong delusion sent from the abyss to take you out of the game. Stay the course, soar with the eagles, and never look back. Never look down. Keep your eyes fastened upon the face of your faithful Father. God said, I will never leave nor forsake you. You are the apple of my eye, and I am continually looking for those who are floundering in the sea of sorrow. Let's read that again. I will never leave nor forsake you. You are the apple of my eye, and I am continually looking for those who are floundering in the sea of sorrow. When I find those ones, I quickly disperse the angelic army to lift them out of the miry clay. There's a lot of sorrow right now in the world. And I thought that was awesome that God addressed that here. He's continually watching so that we don't drown, so that we aren't taken out. God said, much is going to transpire in the next few months. Shrapnel will be flying all around. And you need to be in my protective arms where there is total, complete safety. Who can come against the Lord God Almighty and stand? Nobody, and I mean nobody. I have my remnant secured in my righteous outstretched arms of safety. Right now, you know, there's a lot of Christians coming against God himself. They can't figure out why he's allowing this COVID and everything else to go on. They're in a bad place. We have no right to question God. Our reply should be, thank you, Father, that you're keeping me safe. Period. God says, why do you get disgruntled? No, that's not where I'm at, am I? Come away, my beloved ones, and allow all of heaven to sing over you. The angelic choir has been waiting for this very moment in church history. They have been waiting to sing total victory over my chosen hand-picked ones. Over my chosen hand-picked ones. Why do you get disgruntled when you hear that phrase, you know, his chosen hand-picked ones? If you are with me, you can't be against me. I am truly with all those who have chosen to stay the course. The battle of the ages is already in progress. Good against evil, and the enemy knows in his heart of hearts that he is a victorious one. But you and I know differently. You know, whenever God said, I think about wrestlers, they know they're beaten. But they go in there and just get yourself just beat up, don't they? And I have to say, why don't you just lay down and let them do the 10 count on you, you know? So God said the battle of the ages is already in progress. Good against evil, and the enemy knows in his heart of hearts that he is a victorious one, but you and I know differently. Truth be known, he knows what his end will be. But he will not give up until it is time for him to collapse into total defeat. In other words, God's telling you the devil's not going to leave you alone. Even though he knows that you're a child of God, and even though he knows that you're not going to quit God, he's going to keep coming after you over and over and over again. And he'll do it in different ways. All right. Then I said, this battle of the ages, the battle of God, it's the battle of God versus Satan, has been going on for over 6,000 years. And we are told in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Satan is the god of this age. Then God said, when has heaven become a weak puppet in the hands of the evil one? Never. Children, do not give up. The battle is raging, yes, but it has only begun. You are on fertile stomping ground where soul after soul will be brought into my kingdom. I thought that was a neat statement. You are on fertile stomping ground where soul after soul will be brought into my kingdom. In other words, you're in a good place. And you're the victorious one. The problem is that nobody wants to stand and fight. Nobody wants battle scars. Everybody wants to be seen walking in total victory with no scars. And this will never happen. Even my son came home to glory with battle scars. But he came home victorious, completing his race and sitting at my strong right hand. In Hebrews 10:12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus was on this earth for 33 years, ran his race, finished it, is now seated in the heavenly places with God. Excuse me, swallowed some. Hebrews 10:12, I'm sorry, Exodus 15:6 says, your strong right hand, God, shimmers with power. Your strong right hand shatters the enemy. In your mighty majesty, you smash your upstart enemies. You let loose your hot anger and burn them to a crisp. Excuse me, sitting at someone's right hand is considered a position of honor. I don't know why, but I thought about marriage. When you do the wedding, you know, the man's always standing next to the right arm of the bride. And that came to me, but I just thought that was sort of awesome. The bride was standing in that place of honor with her husband-to-be. All right, sitting at someone's right hand is considered a position of honor. The fact that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God means that he has the highest place of honor. In the Bible, the right hand, and especially God's right hand, is the hand of strength. And you find that in Exodus 15:6. The hand of authority, you find that in Revelation 5:1. And the hand of blessing, which is in Genesis 48:14. So it's a hand of authority, strength, and blessing. And then God says, even when you work for me, you work from the stance of see what I am doing. Wrong motive. I really try hard to say that I did something, because without Christ, I can't do anything. It isn't me that's doing it. It is Christ himself. So it said, even when you work for me, you work from the stance of see what I am doing. And God said, wrong motive. Then God said, where is humility in my body? My son was humble even to the cross. He never reviled and never tried to make himself seen. He humbled himself, took up his cross, marched up Golgotha Hill, hung on the cross, died, descended into the throes of hell, defeated his opponent, and he is now seated in heavenly places. And you can find it in 1 Peter 3:18 through 20. Then 1 Peter 2:20 says, for what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. God says, my disciples all carried their scars into the heavenlies. They fought their battles from the stance that heaven was worth fighting for. They finished their races and are in heavenly places. And one day, and God said, one day you shall walk in the streets of gold with them. And if you read about the disciples, they all died a horrible death. They were all persecuted the whole time they were on the earth working for God. I'll just hold this right now. Paul went through horrible suffering in 2 Corinthians 11:23-29, as did the other apostles, which is in Acts 5-8. Paul was quite explicit in saying this was to be expected by everyone who follows Jesus. And 2 Timothy 3:12 says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Come on, guys. And nobody wants to be persecuted. Nobody wants to suffer any at all. They just want to sail along, you know, on the sea and just, you know, just be blessed, blessed, blessed. It doesn't work that way. And when some people get, you know, people start coming against you, and then you get all befuddled and you do stupid things and give God a bad name, and it goes on and on and on, doesn't it? You know, if you're really a true child of God, really wanting God to use you, then you might as well just get it settled in your little pea brain that you're going to suffer and people are going to come against you. Like the church right now is being come against because we believe in deliverance again. Yeah, this is something that the enemy comes at us over and over and over again. First thing to do is tell people, don't come here because I'm of the devil. Well, you know, they said Jesus was too. And, you know, and God told me when I first started, you read the letters written in red, see what happened to Jesus, that's what's going to happen to you. If you really want to be a true, if you're really a true child of God, you're just going to suffer. You're going to suffer in your own home. You know, your families and people, everybody does not understand your walk with God. And so you just have to let it go. Just let it go. In the Bible, suffering and opposition are a normal part of the normal Christian life. You know, the churches in America have it good. The churches overseas are persecuted every day. And they still follow Christ. They do not give up their churches. They're dying for their because they believe in Jesus. If somebody said they're going to cut your head off, you say, no, that's okay. I was wrong. You're right. Hey, getting your head cut off isn't bad. It's just one swift swish and you're going. Then you'll be in heaven. And if you're really God's chosen child, people are not going to understand you. They are not going to understand the things you go through. And they're always going to say, well, if he's such a good God, that's the first things out of their mouth. All right, God said, tribulation after tribulation fall those who are securely tucked under my wings. Securely tucked under his wings, tribulation after tribulation fall. You will no longer look at the scars of the past or fear the scars that lie ahead. Your eyes will be on the prize at the end of the race. I hope that's a true statement. Well, that is a true statement. God said it, but I hope you all feel that way about it. Yeah, some of you guys that are married, you make me a little bit upset. I am going to say sick to the stomach. You know, so your wife doesn't do what you want her to do one day and you get all carried away and get crazy and throw a fit and want a divorce and everything else. You don't even know what it is to suffer in a marriage. You really don't. And anyhow, you make your own suffering most of the time. Come on. Now, if the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, don't put it on. You can just kick it under the seat. You know, I know that some of us suffer a lot with our spouses, but you know what? Jesus is with you in your suffering. He sees everything that's going on. And unless he's telling you to leave that spouse, he wants you there because it's you that's going to save that spouse. Philippians 3:13 says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul says. And God said, tribulation after tribulation follow those who are securely tucked under my wings. You will no longer look at the scars of the past or fear the scars that lie ahead. Your eyes will be on the prize at the end of the race. And Paul said, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He doesn't care what happened in the past. He doesn't care what's going to happen in the future. He's just going to press on. I wish we all had that attitude. We're pressing on, God, no matter what we have to go through. God's sovereign plan since day six of creation has been to have a people in the earth made in his image, walking with him and operating in his power as his dominion stewards. That's what we should be. as his dominion stewards over all creation. That's in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. That's you and me. That is who we are in Christ. He did not form us in our mother's womb, and he didn't form Adam out, Eve out of the dust and everything just to have something to do that day. He was creating his future people. And he breathed his, you know, that one song says, do you feel the wind? And remember God used to always say that, don't you feel the wind? You know, he was in the wind, and he was saying, I'm here. Don't you feel me? But we just heard him, sung that song, and we just heard him say that, and we went on about our business, never understanding the fullness of what God was saying to us. Don't you feel the wind? He was saying, I'm here. I'm in your midst. Just receive me. And quit being so upset about everything. Where are we at? We have been handpicked. Is that right? We have been handpicked by God to be here now, representing him and representing him to our families, workplace, cities, states, territories, nations, and the world. He has us here representing because you know what? People have, the church has been so messed up that the church doesn't even know who Jesus is anymore. And Mary, still, God's saying, you just need to go ahead and sit still because he's going to use you mightily. The warfare that you've been going through is for a purpose. And it's been hard, he's saying. But he's been there with you, and he's held you in his arms when you cried, not understanding what was going on. But God said, in a few short days ahead, you will understand all things, and then you will rejoice in the fact that he used you to bring in the lost and the dying. All right, you are wondering why God is allowing his children to go through the intense seasons and just exactly how they can achieve kingdom purposes. And Luke 22:31 says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. You know, one time I was going through a terrible time, and God gave me this scripture. And I understood then, you know, that Satan was trying to show God that he could destroy me. What does it say here? Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. So it's another Job thing. Why did he ask for him? That he may sift you as wheat. And then Jesus said, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Notice that Jesus does not reassure Simon Peter by telling him that he was interceding on his behalf so that Satan would not sift him. He said that he had prayed so that Simon Peter's faith would not fail. Jesus was saying he would allow a season of sifting by the enemy because when Simon Peter ultimately chose to believe in the Lord and his truth, despite the season of challenges, it would achieve something powerful for the kingdom in the earth. It would also strengthen other believers in their faith and thus in their effectiveness for the kingdom. So you see there, this is where your testimony comes in. And, you know, when I was going through that trying time, another trial and tribulation thing, you know, God gave me that scripture. And God said, this is what's happening to you right now. And so, see, God was going to let me be sifted because he did. Remember, I said I wished to sift the holes would have been a little bit bigger. But God was praying for me that I would, my faith would stay through the whole sifting period. Now, how many of you, your faith cannot stand a sifting period? You know, when the sifting starts, you get to questioning, you get to running, you get to doing all kind of junk. But that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to go through the sifting period. You know, God told me that, and he says in Job, that Satan can do anything he wants to us, but he can't kill us. I stand on that promise. I don't care what Satan's doing to me. I say, you can't kill me. You know, I shout that at him every time. And I keep right on going through whatever I have to go through. Come on. That one time I had an hour conversation with the devil. He was telling me all these things he was going to do. And I said, you know what? You can't kill me, though. Because that God told me that early on, that you cannot ever kill me. You can stand here and tell me all you... And he did. He had a long conversation with me. I was washing my car. I said, you'd sit here and say anything you want to me, but I'm going to always be the victorious one because you can't take my life. It caused me a lot of heartache and tears. See, so you have to remember that. And what did Jesus say? If Jesus called, you know, whenever they were going to crucify him, he didn't really have to be crucified. All he had to do is call on the angels and he wouldn't have died. And all we have to do is remember that God's told us, promised us that he can't kill us. I don't care how much you wish you would. Put you out of your misery. But why would you even give him that satisfaction of doing that and letting him win? Jesus was letting Simon Peter know that no matter how things may look or feel, he was with him. And that Simon Peter was not a victim in all this, but actually someone who was being used mightily of the Lord. And by his faith, not failing in the midst of severe pressure and intense spiritual battles. See, you're not a victim in the things you're going through. You are the conqueror. And people are watching you. Somebody said to me, why don't you just close the doors and just live happy? You have the church. Why would I do that? I wouldn't be happy if I did that. You know, lay down and die is what they were saying, you know. Isn't that what people say? They want you to lay down and die. Forget all about your faith in God and all the things God has done for you. If you really look back over your life, you'll sit and you'll smile. Because you say, God, I didn't go through that one too well, but you brought me through it. And look what you did with all that. Amen. God told me, daughter, you have to go through this. Because whenever you're through it, then the glory is going to be so strong, the glory is never going to leave. So, you know, I have to go through it because the glory is going to come. And other people's lives are going to be saved. Jesus had to suffer and die so that you and I could one day go to heaven. And Mary, the suffering you're going through, Jesus says, is going to bring many to the cross. So just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and just trust God that he knows what he's doing. How many of you said in the middle of a trial, have you forgot me, Lord? He never forgets you. He's watching you the whole time you're going through it. All right, God has been telling us to build up our most holy faith. Right now, God wants us to understand how powerful our faith really is. And you'd be surprised you have more faith than you think you do. You really do. Because whenever God wants to show you how much faith you have, he'll put you through the sieve. All right. Our faith is way more than simply belief. According to Hebrews 11:1, our faith is a substance. It is also the main way that we operate as his dominion stewards in the earth. All of Satan's attacks, pressure, and pushbacks are an effort to get us to focus on our current circumstances as opposed to the eternal truth of God's word. You know, as I was writing all this, I was playing music in the background, and Danny Gokey came up with that song, Comeback. We're going to play that because that went right along with what he said here, you know. The devil thinks he has us down for the last count, but we're not down for the last count. We're getting ready to do the, you know, get up there and just beat the tar out of him and put him back where he belongs. Show him who's boss. The enemy wants us to feel defeated. He wants us to quit because he knows that when we believe, we will continue to pray, decree, declare, praise and worship in spirit and in truth. Now that is faith. And the substance of that faith establishes a kingdom of heaven here on the earth. No matter what the enemy is saying, Yeah, listen to me. No matter what the enemy is saying, keep believing. You are making a difference. And I know about every one of us in here have, at one point, are saying, God, am I even doing any good anywhere? If you haven't, you will. Because the enemy's going to keep pressing you until you do, trying to make you believe that you're not doing any good. And at that point, God will show up in all of his glory and give you the strength you need to keep moving. Yes, the siftings are real right now, but they are not because the enemy is winning. It's just the opposite. They are proof he is terrified of what the church is accomplishing. We need to continue to stand strong in our faith. We can't buckle under the pressures that the enemy is putting against us through other people. You know, it really amazes me how the enemy can go into a church and use your brothers and sisters to tear you down. Why can he do that? What is there in you that allows him to use you that way? I might see you do something wrong, but that doesn't mean I don't love you. I just can't figure out why you let the enemy do that, you know. And so whenever I start complaining to God, I say, God, I'm sorry. I'm just like the other poor sheep. I forget who I am in Christ Jesus for a second. And when I forget that, then the enemy comes in and he bombards me and tries to make me believe that I'm not who I really am. That God's finished with me. If you ever feel like God's finished with you, that's just, you need to know right then and there that he's getting ready to do great things through you. And the enemy's trying to make you believe that God's finished you, so you'll quit before you tear his kingdom apart. All right? And God's saying that a lot of you have been blindsided by the enemy. He's come in when he's had you, you know, really pressed down, and then he's come in and with one last thing thinking he's going to take you out. And don't allow him to do that. Don't allow him to do that. Yeah, I want to encourage and strengthen you this morning and let you know that because of all the battles you're going through, you need to understand that you are truly God's child. And God's going to use you mightily, and this is why you're going through what you're going through, because the enemy's trying to make you quit. Don't let him win. Don't let him win any more battles. Like that one song I just threw in there last night, just because the other song wasn't working. This right before, not the last song, but the other one. You know, he said, "I don't know where this is going, but I'm going with you." If you notice some of the words, they couldn't. Whoever put the words up there didn't understand what they were saying. Put the wrong words in there. But that's just it. We don't know where God's going with it. We don't know where he's taking us to. And so the enemy comes in there trying to make us believe a lie. And we just need to keep our eyes on God and understand what he's told us he's going to do with us. I'm just hearing God say right now that we all are a bunch of poor sheep that have not been led astray, but the enemy has come in and fought us over and over and over again, trying to take us out. So we're not going to be poor sheep anymore, right? We're going to be strong sheep, and we're going to win every battle, and we're going to bring others to Christ. It doesn't matter what people are saying. What matters is, what is God saying? And I know that you're like me. You want so bad, desperately for God to drop his glory. And that when we come in these doors, that all we'll see is the glory of God. And when people, they won't even be able to come through the doors anymore. They'll be laying out in the streets in the spirit. But I can't want that because God says that he has something greater for us. But that could be a little bit, we could cap that, right? So, yeah, I'm just not going to give up. I'm not going to sit around here. Is it called a stalemate? Yeah, well, I heard that, so I say that. I don't know much about chess. So how about you? Are you going to allow the devil to steal what you worked so hard to get so far? It's been a long, hard journey, has it not? And you think more downs and ups on all sides. But like God said, you know, the battle's just begun. So if it's just begun, and he said it did, and are you going to be able to make it when it gets worse? You have to ask yourself that. And if you want to make it when it gets worse, you're going to have to strengthen your faith right now more than what you have been. And you're just going to have to trust God with every fiber of your being that, you know, he has you in the palm of his hands. And he's not going to drop you. I want the Lighthouse Church to be a church, and when somebody walks through those doors, that every demon in hell will flee. We used to have that. I want it to come back. It used to be that whenever people walked through the doors sick, they were instantly healed. I want that back, but I want the greater works with it. I want miracle services where we don't do anything but just watch people be healed and delivered. It'd be like Catherine Coleman. She just had the service and the people came and they were healed. And she just stood up and called them up. What did God do for you? I don't know about you, but I'm tired of coming and sitting like this. We need some action. We need God to move mightily. A lot of you, I know that Satan's stolen your joy, the majority of your joy. Because I look at you and I know what you used to be and I know what you are today. And I see you dragging your feet. Excuse me. So you've allowed an enemy to steal. Get your joy back. Get your joy back. And then the enemy can't steal no more. I'm depending on you guys to work with the glory of God and see those lost souls that are out there delivered and set free. I am depending on you guys to do that. And I know that God, and all, he wants to drop all his glory in here. And I know that he wants to use you younger people. I was watching Kenneth Copeland the other day, and I was listening to them, and I thought they're getting older. Well, they've gotten older. And their voice isn't as you know, strong and pronounced as it used to be. And we need younger people in. Younger people in, you know, have strong voices who are following God with all their heart. And the people in the churches that won't let the young people in are not working with God, because he wants the young people in. But he wants young people to be submissive to, you know, and follow God's voice and not man's voice or their own voice. Now, are you ready? Are you really ready to submit your every thought that you have? Just give it to God. And just let his thoughts come into your mind. And are you ready to really receive the fullness of his glory? Where you're no longer going to worry about yourself. Because yourself is dead. Jesus didn't worry about himself. His self was dead. And you know, our days are numbered. God knows exactly when we're going to die. So let's not worry about when we're going to die. Let's be concerned about all the souls that are dead that God wants to bring to life. And I'm really calling upon you people today, because people are out there talking again about us. And so that tells me that God's getting ready to do something great with this church. And so I'm really calling on you to really stay grounded in Christ. Know what God's spoken to you. Know what he's doing with you. And follow him. Just follow him. Follow your convictions. You know, and if you want to leave, that's fine. If you don't want to be connected with the church as talked about again, that's fine. But whatever you do, don't compromise your walk with God. Stay firm to your convictions. And God's saying, love your fellow brothers and sisters at all costs. He said, help one another, don't hinder one another. If we see a brother, I'm just telling you what God said, if we see a brother or sister in a fault, pray for that brother and sister. You know, lift them up before God and watch God set them free. And while he's working on them, you should be loving them. Because I'm sorry, none of us are perfect. And we've all messed up. I've messed up, you know, and we all need love, compassion, and grace. We just all do. And God's just pouring out his heart right now because he's depending on you people. He's trained you up in the ways you should go. And he's depending on you now to step up to the plate and carry his glory to the lost and dying. You shouldn't be thinking about a title. No titles. You shouldn't be thinking about how you're going to be glorified. But what you should be thinking about is just that you have the anointing that destroys every yoke. Okay? Well, Father, I truly do thank you. And I thank you, Father God, that you love this group so much. You've chosen us to lead the multitudes to the cross. I thank you, Father God, that we know who we are in Christ. And that, Father God, we're not going to allow the enemy to take us out of your outstretched arms. From this day forth, Father God, we will bow our knees to the living God, open our ears to hear his still small voice, and follow wherever he leads us. And Father, I just thank you for it in Jesus' name.